Well, good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. I'm glad you made it in. I'm glad you all safely made it in and are able to join us here today. And I also welcome all of our viewers online who have stayed home and stayed warm and cozy. We're glad you're able to tune in and join us as well. We're glad that we can have this time to worship together. Wherever we may be physically, we can join together in spirit for this time of worship. And I just have a couple of quick announcements to share. I know Sandy was downstairs. She beat me to the announcement. She was getting it as she came in the door. But we do have the Chili Cook-Off and Talent Show coming up here on February 11th. If you haven't signed up and you'd like to, we'd love to have you join us, whether your talent is making that big pot of chili to share with everyone or doing something up here on the stage. We'd love to have you join us and enjoy the fellowship and fun of that evening. We're looking forward to that. It's February 11th, and we'll start at 5 p.m. with the chili. So I hope you can join us. And I also just wanted to offer a reminder that starting on February 14th, we're going to be starting with season 3 of The Chosen, following his table. So you can come for dinner on Tuesday nights at his table at 5:15, and then at 6:15, right afterwards, we'll be starting with season 3, episode 1 of The Chosen. And if you haven't watched the other seasons, they are available. You can watch them for free online, or just come and join us. We'll get you caught up. We'll give you the synopsis of where we're at so far. But it's been a fun evening of study, watching those episodes, and learning a little bit more together. So I hope you can join us. Hope you can be there for that. And those were the announcements I had to share. Other than one other thing, I had spoken with Myung yesterday and just told her that I needed her to be safe and do what was best for her. And she expressed her desire to not be on the roads this morning. So I told her that's not a problem. We have a wonderful sound booth. We have a wonderful congregation that will make this work. So we have some recorded music we'll be using for our hymns. We're still going to sing. Not letting you off the hook that easy. We're going to sing. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me and we're going to do our opening hymn. It's number 87, What Gift Can We Bring? Pray with me. Loving God, we come this morning seeking to abide in your presence. Open our minds to your spirit of wisdom, that we may know how to live as your people. Open our hearts to your spirit of truth, that we may love all your people with a love that speaks of justice, kindness, and radical grace. May this time of worship be authentic and pleasing to you, Almighty Father, we pray in your holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today has taken us to the book of Micah. We're going to read chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. If you wish to follow along in the Pew Bibles, you can find it on page 820 of the Old Testament. God challenges Israel. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Chittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. What God requires. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This ends our first reading for today. And as I mentioned, Myung was our special music for today. Myung wasn't joining us today, so we're going to skip by that in your bulletin. I don't want you to think I'm just forgetting it. We're skipping it on purpose here today. But with that said, I'd like to invite any of the students or children that are with us to come forward and join me for our time with children here this morning. Spencer. You guys are all moving a little quiet, a little slow this morning. Oh, a couple more are wandering up here. Hi there. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Good? Okay. You're a little quiet. I'm going to change that in a second here. Because I got something special we get to do today, you know? How many of you guys have ever had a special day? A special day that you were looking forward to? Has there ever been one of those days? What are some of those days you look forward to? Birthday. That's really funny that you would say that. Because I happen to know that somebody sitting up here with us this morning, it's her birthday. Right? Yeah, it's just a little grin there. It is Zoe's birthday today, folks. And you know what we do on birthdays in the church? We sing, that's right. So we're going to sing to Zoe. Will you all sing with me? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zoe. Happy birthday to you. Well, thank you guys for helping me sing to Zoe. And Zoe, I just have a quick question for you. She didn't know she was going to be on the hot seat here, but Zoe, how did it feel to have people sing to you? How was that? It was good? Is it something that you like? I see a little smile, so I'm guessing you appreciated that. Yeah, it feels good to have people recognize us and sing to us and celebrate us on special days like our birthdays or other special events in our family and in our lives. It's a good feeling, right? And I think that's a reminder for all of us that we can celebrate people on their birthday. I'm glad that we got to celebrate. I'm glad her mom mentioned it to me that it was her birthday coming up here, that we got to celebrate it. And I'm glad we always get to sing and celebrate people. Because it's that reminder that we can make them feel special, make them feel important or appreciated for that day. And I think that's wonderful. I think we should always be able to do that on birthdays and days. But my challenge, my encouragement for all of you guys is, we don't have to just wait for birthdays to make people feel special, do we? Should we just wait for once a year we're allowed to celebrate Zoe? Is that what we should do? No! We can celebrate Zoe anytime we want. We can tell her, Zoe, you did a really good job in class today. I love the picture you drew. I love the craft you made. I thought you had a really good comment about what we were talking about in class. You can tell her that any day, right? We can encourage one another. We can be supportive of one another. Because Zoe said it. It's nice to have that recognized. It's nice to be recognized and know when we did something. So that's my challenge, my encouragement for all you guys. Don't wait for birthdays. Don't wait for special events or special things to happen. Celebrate people. Always remind them how special they are to you. Your parents, your teachers, your friends, your siblings. Tell those people how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, the kind things they do for you. It really does make a difference. So that's my challenge for all of us, all right? We're going to celebrate Zoe today because it's her birthday, and that's an awesome thing. But we're going to celebrate Zoe and Spencer and Henry. And James isn't with us this morning, but we're going to celebrate Beta and Margaret and Eliza and Eddie and Michael and every other student we have and every other person we have. And Lainey. Sorry, and Lainey. How can we forget Lainey? We're going to celebrate them all the time, all right? Because that's what we are. We're the church, and we love each other, and we take care of each other, and we encourage each other. So I feel that way about all of you. I love you. I want to encourage you. I hope you know that. And I'm going to say a prayer here for us before you guys head back to Odyssey, all right? Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each of these students who are up here with me, each of the students in the pews, each of the students watching at home, wherever those students may be, Lord. I offer my thanks because they are all special, young boys and girls, young men and women, and we are so thankful they're a part of our church that we can learn and grow, that we can encourage and support one another as we live life together. So, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit, once again, it falls on each of them, that they each feel that special blessing of your presence, of your love in their life. Let them be reminded that you love them deeply, you care for them, you encourage them. Because we know you are here with us, Lord. You are with us all of our days. And for that, we offer our thanks and gratitude as we say, Amen. All right, guys, thanks for coming up. Happy birthday, Zoe. I hope you have a super special day. You guys have fun at Odyssey, all right? Careful going down. Thank you for helping me sing to Zoe. Her mom wanted to make sure we were able to celebrate her here this morning, and so I'm glad we could and welcome her this morning. And I have a few other joys to share as well as some current concerns to share, so let me share these with us this morning. The first being that, did Kate sneak out? She did. Kate snuck out on us. She knew it was coming. But Deanna shared with me that she recently traveled for the solo and ensemble performance with her group, and she received a 1, which would be a perfect score for both her solo and her duet performances. So we offer our congrats to Kate. We'll applaud her. Maybe you can take a hint from my children's lesson and catch her on the way after service during fellowship time and tell her good job as she has worked so hard for that. And I have a couple of other concerns to share. Irene Phillips had sent a message this week that her and Tom would be traveling to Pennsylvania to help out with their grandchildren. Her daughter-in-law's stepmother, Cheryl, passed away this past week after some medical challenges, so the family's mourning her loss and making those arrangements. And so Irene's out to care for the grandchildren to help out a little bit here in the next few weeks. So just prayers for all the family during this time and as they make those arrangements and travel. And I also received an update from Linda Eastman. Did Linda sneak in? I saw Michael. She must be here somewhere. But I received an update from Linda Eastman that her dad has been moved to hospice and not much has changed. They're trying to make him as comfortable as possible. He's on a CPAP machine, but is still struggling to breathe. So we continue to keep him in our prayers, as well as Linda and the rest of the family, as they support and encourage him during these difficult times. And I had one more come in from Dory Hill on the chat. She's asking prayers for her sister Judy's family as she went to be with Jesus. We've been praying for Judy's family, for Judy for some time. She's had some medical challenges. So we lift up Judy's family as she has gone home to be with the Lord. We pray for Dory and for her family as well as they mourn her loss and make those arrangements. Those were the ones that were shared with me this morning. Dave and Everett have the microphones. If you have something you'd like to share, just raise a hand and one of them will bring a microphone to you.
Good morning. This morning I have a joy to share. I am thanking my Heavenly Father for my earthly father, who turned 80 years old this morning. Happy birthday, Dad.
Oh, wait a second. Wait 1 second. Turned 80 today. Oliver, you didn't tell me that coming in the door. Folks, it's his birthday. You know what we got to do for Oliver then? Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Oliver. Happy birthday to you. I know a couple weeks ago I joked about parents embarrassing their kids. This week we get to go the other way. I love it. Happy birthday, Oliver.
I have two concerns. One for Edith Becker. Her tailbone is still bothering her a lot, but it's getting better. I'd also ask prayers for my son, Jeff, who went back into the hospital with a blood clot in his lung, which probably resulted from the biopsy that they did. But anyway, they removed the clot yesterday, and he has a meeting with the oncologist on Tuesday to determine services and treatment.
Well, we continue to keep your son Jeff in our prayers, and that they were able to deal with that blood clot, but also for his treatment going forward. And we do remember Ardith, who had her fall a couple weeks back and still has that sore tailbone. I know it's a little difficult to sit, so we keep Ardith in our prayers. Thank you, Ned. Are there others this morning?
Keep Kathy Loba in your prayers. Ed's Klusendorf's mother-in-law.
Continued prayers for Kathy as she's moved to hospice as well. Thank you, Dave.
I would just like to say thank you to Arlene. She usually sits right in back of us here, retired minister, and she has been leading our Bible study that meets on Wednesday. And I want to encourage everyone to come and join us. The time has changed. It was at 2, but it's going to be a little earlier. And I can't remember now if it was 1 or 1:30.
It's 1:30.
Okay, so Wednesday at 1:30 here at the church. And I just want to say thank you again, Arlene, and hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I know Arlene would love to have you, and she does teach a wonderful class, so thank you for that reminder.
I just wanted to shout out a praise to, I don't know if she's in here right now, Michelle. If any of you have noticed, she's putting the flooring down in the old nursery and almost done, and it looks amazing. So I know she worked hard this week to do that, and looks like a whole new room. So thanks to Michelle for all she does around here.
Absolutely. Our thanks for that wonderful space that looks refreshed and new. It is looking great. Thank you for that reminder, Judy. Continued prayers for Beth. Thank you.
I'd like to have prayer for my sister Elaine. She's having some difficulty. So, yeah, she just needs prayer.
Prayers for Elaine. Absolutely. God knows the needs, and we will keep Elaine in our prayers. Thank you for that, Karen. Are there any others this morning?
This is long overdue, but I wanted to give thanks to the congregation for praying for my grandson. He had some difficulties. If you don't remember, he was in the rollover four-wheeler accident and broke his femur. And his follow-up visit, the bone was not healing at all. And they did blood work and found out that he was deficient in calcium and vitamin D, and he was not the best eater. So this has really changed his habits. And the visit that he had 2 weeks ago showed that the bone is almost healed. So I thank you for the prayers. And then I'm asking for prayers for myself and my two sisters as we travel to Mexico on a sister's trip this week. So it's my sister's a weaver from Vermont, and we visit a lot of villages. It's not a resorty kind of vacation. It's a hike in the mountains and do markets and things like that. So she tells us it's safe, so prayers are appreciated.
First, for safe travels and for a good trip with your sisters. And that's wonderful to hear that the bone is mending and healing and leading to the better. So thank you for that update, Mary Jo. Are there any others to share here this morning? Down front here, Dave.
Supposed to have my floor put in my house. They're going to put instead carpet, they're putting wood floors. So hopefully everything works out and it's going to happen. So it's supposed to be maybe February 1st. So hopefully it's
prayers for a renovation and updating and things to go well with it. Absolutely, Debbie, we keep in our prayers. Well, I invite us to take these that we've heard here this morning, the joys we've celebrated and sung, as well as the concerns we've heard lifted and the needs in our lives and the lives of loved ones we know. Let us take this moment and let us share them before our God in this time of silent prayer. Father God, we come here today from many different places, many different activities, work, school, volunteer opportunities, meetings with friends, gatherings. We come from any different number of things that have taken place this past week. And Lord, through those times we celebrate the times we've enjoyed, the times we've spent with friends and family, the reminders of your goodness, your love that we see in our world around us. We are thankful for those opportunities. But Lord, we also come from places of difficulty. There are challenges, there are struggles that we are facing, each and every one of us. Difficulties we've encountered in the past week. Things that cause us fear for the week to come of what awaits us. Lord, we know that whether we are celebrating or whether we are mourning, whether we are downtrodden, wherever we may be finding ourselves at this very moment, we know that you are there with us. You are there to encourage us, there to strengthen us, there to guide us. So we offer our thanks for that presence that we know is always there. And Lord, we ask that you touch those lives, those individuals that have been named here today, both the ones spoken, but also the ones named in our hearts, the needs that have been named. Touch those who feel lost. Touch those who feel pain. Touch those who are mourning on this day. Remind them that you are there, that your love, your presence, it will never leave. Lord, we pray that we can continue to be your people. We can continue to be your hands and feet, be a part of the body of Christ as we do the work we are called to do, right here in our own community, but also, Lord, throughout this world. Help us to see where the needs are. Help us to act where you would have us act. Help us to be your people. For we offer our thanks, we offer our praise, as we join our voices, as we come together as one voice and pray this, our Lord's Prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you again to stand with me as you're able for our next hymn. We're going to sing number 568, Christ for the World We Sing. Will you stand and sing with me?
To the world we sing, the world to joyful song. The newborn souls whose names will bring from their sweet inspired home and praise to Christ beyond.
Please be seated. We take a moment in each worship service, a time to be thankful for the gifts, the tithes and offerings that are brought to this place. But we give thanks because of the work those tithes and offerings allow us to do. I had two individuals who I spoke with this week, one who had attended a service for the first time and another who had been watching online. And they told me, there's something special about this church. Amen. There is something special about this church. And it is that the Spirit is here. It's that we see the Spirit moving amongst us. That we allow the Spirit to guide us, to guide our thoughts, our actions, the missions we're a part of, the ministries we're a part of. And I'm thankful to be a part of that. And I'm thankful for those of you who are able to continue to support us with those offerings, that we can do that work, that we can have something special happening out of this place. And it doesn't just stay in this room. It doesn't just happen in our fellowship hall. We reach out to the community. We reach out to those throughout Romeo, throughout Michigan, throughout our nation, throughout our world. It is something special to be a part of. So I offer my thanks. And I remind you, we do have the offering box on the organ to receive those gifts today. We also have the online giving available at romeoumc.com. Thank you for being a part of something special. Thank you for doing the work that we're called to do. Let me offer us this word of thanks and blessing for our collection today. God of all blessings, your beloved Son teaches us all we need to know to claim the life that you've hoped for us. And in spite of that, we live to be those who accumulate, to gain more, reluctant to give. Lord, help us to change our thoughts. Help us to change our ways. Help us to recognize that the gifts we bring here serve a purpose. They serve you, Lord. All those gifts that we bring, they are a result of the blessing you've poured out on our lives. So help us to remember who Jesus truly called blessed. And help us to be that blessing throughout this world. We pray this in the name of our teacher and of our Savior. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is going to come from Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It is found on page 4 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow along. However, today I'm not going to be the one reading this scripture to you. These verses we're going to hear, they're found from the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. They're commonly known as the Beatitudes. It might have a heading in your Bible. As I was picking this scripture, as I knew this is what I was going to be preaching on today, I had one thing that just kept coming to my mind. It was from Season 2, Episode 8, of The Chosen. We finished the study a few months back, and this was from that final episode. And in the scene we're about to see, it's as Jesus, along with Matthew, yes, Matthew, the disciple that was with him, Matthew that wrote this gospel that's there with him, and they're preparing for the Sermon on the Mount, making some notes. But in the scene, we're going to hear Jesus reciting these verses, the verses of Scripture, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. So I invite you to hear, to see, to feel these verses as they're shared with us from Matthew for our second scripture reading today.
Ready? Have I? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.
Yes, but how is it the map?
If someone wants to find me, those are the groups they should look for.
The Word of God, for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Count your blessings. How many times do you think you've heard that in your lifetime? We hear it in many different ways, many different forms. A parent to an ungrateful child. I've used it. Maybe that child back to their parents as a reminder as well. A teacher to a student, a boss to an employee. Count your blessings. We tell people it all the time. And I'm sure we all know that one person who is, we'll just call them a little overly optimistic. They're the type of person who could be standing in the middle of a room that's on fire and they'll say, at least it's warm in here. Count your blessings. During my study, my prep, throughout this entire week, that word, blessings, blessed, just kept popping up again and again. And for seeing that term, it got me wondering, it got me curious about where that term, count your blessings, where it originated from. So I went and found my good friend Google to see if what I could find. And apparently that phrase, count your blessings, it can be traced back to an ancient Jewish tradition that taught the people to try to recognize and appreciate and acknowledge 100 blessings each and every day. And these blessings, they weren't just times relegated before meals when you said a prayer before it or before bedtime. This was an intentional habit. It was about forming a habit of being thankful, looking around and counting your blessings, appreciating what was around you, the blessings that were a part of everyday life. I even found it from two different sources. Two places told me this, that it was noted that a successful visit to the bathroom could be counted as one of your 100 blessings for the day. I can't make it up. It's on the internet. It's got to be true. I will say, though, having potty trained 5 children now, any trip to the bathroom that doesn't involve the word accident, it is a blessing in my mind. But that is where the phrase, count your blessings, originated from. It was about an effort, an intentional effort to focus as much as possible on the good, on the blessings around you, and to be thankful for them. And this desire to have a grateful mindset, it reminded me of a joke I once heard shared. A family was preparing to have a big dinner party they were hosting. Mother had worked tirelessly for days to make sure everything would be just right. The perfect place settings, decorations, the perfect food, the perfect atmosphere, everything was going to be just right, just perfect. Maybe some of you can relate to having had a mother like that. Maybe some of you are a mother like that. Anyhow, all the guests had arrived, and everyone found their seat around the dinner table. All were set. And the mother turned to her 6-year-old daughter and said, "Dear, would you please say the blessing for us?" And the little girl's cheeks flushed a little bit, and she looked around nervously and shyly before replying, I don't know if I know what to say. And the woman told her, "Dear, just say what Mommy says when she prays." And she gave the little girl an encouraging pat on the back. Her daughter looked at her with big wide eyes and said, "Okay." She bowed her head, folded her hands, and solemnly said, "Dear Lord, why did I invite all these people to my house?" Not quite the blessing the mother was hoping for. And while we can laugh at the joke, isn't it a reminder for us that sometimes we can lose track of the forest for the trees? At some point, that mother lost track of what was really important about having that gathering. She lost sight of all the blessings that were before her, that she had a table to fill, that she had food to provide, that she had friends to invite over. She lost track of all of that. And as any of us, any of you with kids can relate, her daughter picked up on her attitude towards that event. Not only picked up on it, but she then emulated her mother's behavior, her mother's actions and attitudes. And in doing so, she called the woman out on it in front of that group. She'd forgotten to truly count her blessings. And all this talk of blessings and being blessed, it's how we normally use that word, isn't it? It's the normal connotation we have around that phrase, count your blessings. We like to equate it to all the good in our lives around us, all the positive things we see in our lives and in our world. It's why we see signs in stores that have it printed all over it, blessing, blessed, be blessed. We see those advertisements. We see it everywhere around us. It's why we try to count our blessings, to be sure. But then Jesus comes along. Man, doesn't it seem like he really likes to mess with our way of thinking sometimes? Because what did he tell us? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. I mean, be honest with me here. It's not just me, right? But do any of those eight conditions I just read truly sound like much of a blessing to you? Those don't sound like things we count as blessings often. As I said, I think Jesus really got a kick out of messing with our way of thinking, about challenging us, making us think a little deeper. But it also leaves me wondering, just what is he trying to teach us? What is he trying to tell us with this opening to the Sermon on the Mount? And I've seen any number of different things suggested over the years in different Bible studies and commentaries. I've heard a number of different sermons preached on this very sermon, on this very text before. But it wasn't until this week, as I was preparing, that I saw this text in a different way. Something else was open to my eyes. And part of the reason was that clip we watched for our second scripture reading. As we watched Jesus speak those words, we watched Matthew diligently making his notes, writing them down. But that wasn't the only thing included in that clip, was it, as we watched? If you haven't watched The Chosen, you might not have caught it or realized who they were, but as Jesus said each of those blessed are statements, the scene cut to someone else or other individuals, didn't it? And each of those scenes it cut to, those were his disciples. Those men and women who were worshiping and following and witnessing what he was doing. It was cutting to them in moments of difficulty and struggle. Moments when they weren't feeling particularly blessed, I have a feeling. But it's for that reason I was able to read these verses in an entirely different way. I was able to recognize something different in them. Because seeing it on screen, hearing Jesus read those words, it made me stop and realize that Jesus wasn't speaking in some hypotheticals when he gave this sermon. He wasn't trying to talk about some future goal that he was setting out for the church, what he wanted to see happen later in his ministry, something that his followers should strive for. Jesus was speaking to those that were there, as well as those that would come after, that were already doing the work. He was speaking to real people that were living in those situations, living in those difficulties. And he was still reminding them that they are blessed. And I'll be clear on this. This is one of the places that The Chosen took a little bit of artistic freedom in their telling of the story. But those words that close the clip, those aren't found in the scriptures. Don't go looking in Matthew 5 trying to find that final conversation between Matthew and Jesus there. But do you remember what Matthew asked him? Matthew asked him, how is this a map? Before that scene, Jesus had told him he was preparing a map for how people should follow. Matthew asked him, how is this a map, what you just said? And Jesus told him, if someone wants to find me, those are the groups they should look for. Those individuals, those groups that we wouldn't normally count as particularly blessed. With that in mind, it made me realize, what if rather than a set of rules, rather than a set of laws, as we so like often to make things that Jesus said, what if that's not what he was telling us in this opening to his Sermon on the Mount? What if instead the Beatitudes are a snapshot of what Jesus believes the community of believers should look like, the community of faith that Jesus was working to build? What if Jesus was saying, blessed is the community who makes room for peacemakers. Blessed is the community who makes room for the meek. Dang it, Jesus, you got me again. Blessed is the community that makes room for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed is the community who makes room for those who are poor in spirit. Blessed is the community who makes room for those who mourn at the brokenness world. Sorry. Give me 1 second. Blessed is the community that makes room for those who are persecuted. Blessed is the community that welcomes all these people. Jesus tells us that all you blessed people, that you should rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Blessed is what we are. Even in those difficult circumstances, in the broken, dark world we sometimes find ourselves in, we are blessed because we know the love and grace and forgiveness and hope offered to us by Jesus. That is why we are blessed. We're blessed with the gift of God's love. Rejoice and be glad, you blessed people. I'll be honest, sometimes I think we need that reminder of who we are, of where we have come from, of those who have gone before us, of how they have lived their lives. We need to remember, and we need to claim our place in the ongoing love story that we have seen throughout the scriptures that has continued to this day. The love of God for his people, for us, God's people. Because that is who we are. One of my favorite places to check for inspiration is a site called The Working Preacher. And this week I came across an article by a gentleman named David Lose. And in it he wrote, too often children become what they are named. Call a child bad long enough and he or she will begin to act bad. Call a child or a teen or an adult, for that matter, worthless, or unlovable, or shameful, and eventually, he or she, all of us, they'll start to live into that name that we've been assigned. In the same way, call us good, or useful, dependable, helpful, worthwhile, and we will grow into that identity and behavior as well. If we hear it long enough, or we hear it often enough, we will learn to embody those things. We will become what we have been called. We will grow to be that person. That was an interesting observation for us this week. Perhaps it was something that Jesus knew quite well. Because I don't think Jesus made any mistake. He didn't have any hesitation in those who he blessed in this sermon. He chose them intentionally, and he chose them well. He wanted to offer to all of us a reminder of who is blessed in this world. He wanted to offer to those first disciples that were walking with him. He wanted to offer that reminder still to us today. Because Jesus chose to tell us who we are, who you are. We are children of God, each and every one of us. And we are blessed. And if you've heard other words, other voices speaking into your heart, into your soul recently, voices that have been telling you anything different, telling you that you are bad or broken or not enough, my heart breaks for you. I'm sorry that you're dealing with that. But I encourage you, I implore you, please do not leave this place today without hearing my words, because you are blessed. You are blessed by our Father in heaven. You are blessed by the King of Kings. He declared it, and it is so. You are blessed with a forgiveness and a grace and a love that knows no bounds. You are blessed by a blessing that is offered to us without cost. It's a blessing that comes for all who seek it. It is the same blessing that Jesus spoke of all those years ago as he sat on that mountainside. And my friends, I truly believe it is the same blessing we are called to share with others. We are called to offer it in so many ways. We are called to offer it to so many people, to the poor in spirit, to those who mourn, to the meek, to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to the merciful, to the pure in heart, to the peacemakers, to the persecuted. We are called to extend that blessing. Yes, we can count our blessings and be thankful. I think it is important to do so. But we can also then take those blessings and we can pass them on. We can pay them forward. We can share them with the world. We can introduce others to the blessing that is awaiting them. Because let us make no mistake about it. We are blessed. So I pray, as I go through box after box of tissue, I pray. Thank you, Greg. I pray that this church, that these people, people known as Methodists right here in Romeo United Methodist Church, we can continue to do the work we are called to. That we can continue to walk as children of God. That we can live our lives each and every day as those who know they are blessed. In life's highs as well as life's lows, that we can count our blessings. We can count our blessings and we can share them with the world. Before we sing our final song this week, I had a friend who shared this prayer. And he said it had come from another source. He didn't have the source, so I'm giving credit to that anonymous source. I did not write this, but it is a prayer that goes with our scripture, with our lesson from today. Before we sing that final song, will you pray with me? Lord and Creator, help us to embrace the costly blessings with which you desire for us. Blessings that confound the wisdom and strength of this world. Teach us to be your agents of preservation in a world touched by death, and beacons of hope in a world shrouded in darkness. Transform us into your image through the crucible of the cross, writing your mandates upon our hearts made pure by your perfect love. Embolden us to be your ambassadors, living as representatives of your holy kingdom, stirring in us your love for others, especially for those who would seek to destroy us because of you. Lord, make us decrease so that you might increase, so that a watching world sees you, not us. Let us daily declare that your priorities are ours, even before our own needs and desires are met. Every moment we live for your glory, the glory of a loving Father and a just King. Free us today from any distraction, craving, or anxiety that would keep us from fully following you. For we acknowledge that everything we could possibly need is yours to give us. Remind us of our sinful brokenness and your gift of grace as we encounter brokenness in others. You, Lord, you are the answer to our every question. You are the treasure that we desperately seek, and it is you who invites us into your salvation, as prodigals returning to the Father's embrace. Keep us upon your path of righteousness and justice, bearing the good fruit of your Spirit. For it is on you, Lord Jesus, that all hope is built. For all of creation, now and forevermore, we pray. Amen. Nathan had warned me that he might not be here to lead the praise singing today, so you're going to have to make do with just me. But I'll invite you to stand with me and sing our closing praise song. It's going to be 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with the eagles. Yes, the Lord. Worship his holy name. seemed like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
This day, let us remember that those who live lives pleasing to God will never be moved. Go now to embrace the kingdom virtues, values of love and justice and truth. Go now with God's blessing to live those values through the power of our challenging, faithful, loving, empowering God. Go now in peace, my friends. Amen.